thermal sound wave.
It's thermal sound waves, the natural alternative to fast food radio. We here, C-Truth, Kev Lawrence. As we do right about this time, we have a guest that's joining us, and she is a woman who has her own business, been doing it for a very, very long time.
Long time.
Representing a lot of different people on the public relations side of things, just on the advocate side of things and the community side of things, you know, anywhere from fashion to dance to business to politics to literary works to stage, film, and TV, you name it.
A lot of things.
Yes, definitely, man. Putting in that work for a long, long time. I don't know how many years it is right now because I lost count, but A Killer Work Songs.
Veteran status.
April Silver, the head of that, the CEO, the founder, putting in that work for a long time, doing it up for all of us out here. And we thank her for joining us right now on the show.
Yo, I'm glad to be here. It's been a minute. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, talking about doing it for a minute, We got 30 years in. The thermal sound waves, y'all got to be at 30. Y'all got to be 30 plus, right?
We're a little bit off that. We're like 25 or 6 something in that area. Yeah, we're a few years off, but we're not far behind.
Right. Definitely. Congrats to both of y'all for real, too.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Absolutely.
She remembers me now. That's what it is. Except both of y'all. Whatever, April.
Yeah, you know, some things just don't change.
So, April, I tell the people exactly, because, you know, we said a lot, but in a nutshell, what do you do and what can you do for people?
I never tire of talking about what we do at A Killer Work Songs. But in a nutshell, we are a communications and marketing agency. That's essentially what we do. So we're small but powerful PR firm based in Brooklyn, New York. This is our 2023 is our 30th anniversary.
Wow.
Year. So we just, you know, like for real, we just had a major anniversary toast, something small and intimate, but that was in Brooklyn on June 6th. My former boss, my former client, and my eternal friend, Dougie Fresh, came to give a toast. So he made my day, and, you know, he stayed. He didn't do one of those like, yo, happy anniversary, I'm out. You know, he stayed for the whole program. And of course, Kevin Powell interviewed me for that night. So you said it best, C-Truth, when you said the PR side of things and the advocacy side of things. We're very much in the trenches in the community, working with artists and activists. So that's why we say our work is arts and activism based.
Now, why is it important for someone to take on your services? Because some people might feel like, hey, I just go on social media and I'm good. Like, why is it important for you to do it, your company?
Yeah, you know, that's a real, I don't know, I'm not trying to sound corny, but it's a really good question because, you know, we predated social media by a couple of decades, right? So to your point, the question might be like, why would I need someone? The value that we bring to be an individual or an institution, because we work with both, right? And we work with small nonprofits and we work with big philanthropic organizations, is that there's a level of care and objectivity and a level of context that a PR agency, and in this case ours, brings to the table. So to someone to help you be like, yeah, I don't know if you need to really go hard on that topic, or let me give you this latest piece of information before you post, or let's talk through what your message is, and does it really match your vision, you know, in this moment. So we're less social media managers and more communication specialists. Mm-hmm. So we really talk about getting people ready to communicate their vision, to communicate what it is that they're about, their artistry, and their product. We're more about putting that in context for the greater good of the community. Like, people come to us because they want to do something more deeply and not as number specific. Well, it's more about quality than quantity for us, and getting that context in there so people can have a deeper understanding about the culture, about the politics, about why we got to get out to to vote, more than just because more than just that narrative that says, you know, people died so you could get out to vote, which is true. But the conversation is a little bit deeper than that. You know what I mean? There's context, and
right. We
give people the mic who can explain the consequences of what happens when you don't get engaged, be they regular lay people or scholars or anybody in between.
So you mean to tell me instead of giving the mic to Cardi B, you rather give the mic to Dr. Joy DeGruy?
Nah, we could give the mic to Cardi B too. You know what I mean? You know, it's really interesting that you, Tamika Mallory has a book. What is the name of her book? It's the only book she has, right? And so she recently did a book talk with Charlamagne Tha God and, Anita Kopass. They did an event at the Brooklyn Public Library, and she talked about her book and why the foreword was an interview between Cardi B and Dr. Angela Davis. And everybody in the industry told her, well, that's not going to work. That's not how you do forwards. A forward is an individual. It's not a conversation. And who in the world wants to listen to Cardi B and Angela Davis? But her point was to say at this particular event, she was like, I'm trying to represent and close the gap between both worlds. And the fact that Angela, Dr. Davis saw the value of communicating with Cardi B, and the fact that Cardi B wasn't intimidated by Angela Davis, and that there was common ground and there's two separate audiences that could come together. Like, I was so glad she told that story, and why I'm repeating it, because we're not doing this pitting each other against one another. You know what I mean? So we don't want to give off that vibe, you know? I know you meant it as joke, but I'm just saying.
No, well, well, with that, it's meant as satire, yet it's also meant to let people know you could come from wherever, but you can still be coached on how to relay the message you need to properly.
I agree.
This is why Akilah works. This is why it works with you.
Right. And also the fact that you have a message and that Akilah works songs can help you properly, get that message out in a way that you may not be able to or just not know to at the time, but Akilah can help you do that. And a lot of people can then understand and hear that, oh, wow, this person or business or whoever it is has a message that's similar to what I want to get into. And I would have never have known that, you know.
Right.
If I wouldn't have seen or heard them in a certain light or what have you.
But also, too, you know, to your point plus, right, is that even if you don't have a message, even if you're new to knowledge, even if you're like, yo, I want to do more than headlines. I want to do more than, you know, 30 words a post. People can sign up to our email list, which is where we cut our teeth, you know, and getting the word out. This was since 1997. So this is 10 years before social media. I still maintain that email is important because we own our email addresses. We don't own IG or Meta or Facebook or whatever.
Right.
So even if you don't have a message or a service or a product and you don't have nothing to sell, maybe you just want to consume good content. Maybe you want to come out to our events and get fed. Maybe you want to be around like-minded people, be it in New York, be it in Oakland, be it wherever. Like, we promote positive events. Mostly, real talk, mostly on the East Coast, but, you know, beyond that as well. And they can just sign up to the email list. We're about to go in on social media because we have some catch up to do. But I got to say this part. I don't know, even know if y'all knew, but we just did an event at Brooklyn Public Library and my former client. Were you there when KRS won, when I interviewed KRS won?
No, I wasn't there, but I know about the event, though.
Oh, my gosh. When I tell you it was hard to – I just turned 55, and I'm happy to say it, but I was a five-year-old on that stage listening to that man talk. Like, it was otherworldly, you know what I mean? Like, the way to, you know, to spend, like, 90 minutes with him, and it was supposed to be a 20-minute interview, the whole room was, like, like levitating, you know what I mean? Like, it was that deep. It was quintessential KRS-One going in on all of this life knowledge – And his story with Scott LaRock, I don't know if he's told a story like he did that night, a couple of nights ago.
I don't think he ever told a story.
Man.
He doesn't, he goes away from that.
He went in that night, and it's we're going to get it out because it was recorded.
Okay,
you know
great.
What I mean? So right now all we have is pictures, but the way that he went in on the whole history and the story. And now this, for those who don't know, this event happened in Brooklyn at the largest public library. It's in the Grand Army Plaza, for those who might not know, right? Central Brooklyn. And it's across the street from Prospect Park. So he was having a surreal moment when he was like, yo, April. And he's talking to a room full of hundreds of people. He was like, this is surreal because I used to sleep on that park bench.
On the bench.
That park bench right that I'm looking at, he was like, you got to give me a moment because I got to get in the room. Because right now I'm in the 1980-something where I was living on the streets. Mm. And to now be here talking about 50 years of hip hop, he was like, yo, I need a moment. And so that's what took him into that hole because he was born in Brooklyn.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was taken in by a family. Senior family in the Bronx, and Scott LaRock used to also be a caretaker for him too.
Yeah, and at the homeless shelter, he talked about that in depth. And this is the poetry of this man, right? He was like when he went to it wasn't Scott LaRock's mother's house; it was the other brother. But he would go. He went there for dinner when this is before any crew was started, and he was like, I was sitting at a table with a plate, and he was like, at the homeless shelter, we were used to plastic. So he said, literally, I did not know how to use the fork. Now they had forks at the homeless shelter, but they were plastic and they were light. So when he got to a home with a home cooked meal. And just chicken and, I don't know, collard green, whatever the meal was, he was like the fork was so heavy that he could not fix his brain on how to hold it properly. Like that level of storytelling, just, man, y'all going to have to shut me up because I could go on. It was like that magical.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm glad it's recorded and that we'll be able to get that and to experience that.
Oh, definitely.
I was talking to somebody, I think I mentioned it on the show too recently, about how our stories are oral. This is how we pass things along to each other down the line historically and so forth and otherwise, and how we still control our stories in the age of cancel this and not this platform and blah, 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 blah. We're from the oral tradition, and that's how we continue to thrive and how we will continue to thrive with people like yourself and, like, you know, talking about these things and spreading these things orally and so forth and, like, through this show and all of those type of traditions. So I want people to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad to be back with y'all. I hope this is a big refresh, you know. So it's really – I'm really happy to be here because – The fact of the matter is our stories are saving people's lives. Mm-hmm. People come to these events and they get fed, they get nourished, they get inspired. And I'm like, yo, if KRS-One was sleeping on a park bench for years, like, let me use that as inspiration to save my life. And he was talking about, you know, we got to make a decision. We got to see ourselves bigger than the circumstances that we are in right now. And it's not like he made up that wisdom. You know, people, you know, sages over the span of time has been talking about this, but it's really something to hear it from a legend like that and to just get it in your DNA and keeps you moving forward. That's the part that excites me, that we can get nourishment from these stories, you know?
Absolutely. It's Thermal Soundwave, C-Truth, Kev Lawrence. We're talking to April Silva, of course, the founder, CEO, and everything else over there at The Killer Work Songs. And she has a wonderful team also as well. I've dealt with them throughout the years, and the team has always been great in addition to April. She brings in some great people to work with her and to help her out as well. So I got to say that. Most
shout
definitely.
Out to Team
Aquila. Yeah.
Yes.
No question. So what are some of the things you got coming up? What's coming up going forward with Aquila?
Yeah, I'm happy to say that the International African Arts Festival is coming up. It's, again, it's in Brooklyn, but we have people literally coming from all over the country and from the continent. That festival is 52 years old. So, you know, it's humbling, right? Like, it started in 1971 in Bed-Stuy. So
wow.
That's a four-day, yeah, it's a four-day event. It's right downtown Brooklyn at Commodore Barry Park. We have had everybody over the years. I've been with them for 25 years, but the festival itself is 52. So everybody from Hugh Masekela to Fela to Dougie Fresh made an appearance 1 year. Lauryn Hill, of course, like everybody and anybody. Talib, of course, and Yasiin Bey, like just so many people from every genre has come through the festival over 52 years. So I really want people, if you're in the region, not even if you're in Brooklyn, but if you are in the region, come out to Commodore Barry Park. The information is on our website. And it's on social media, again, International African Arts Festival. That's the biggest thing. That's why I'm losing sleep right now, you know, to help get that event off and running.
No question. And two last questions really quickly. Has your story been told, or are you like thinking about or in the works of anything as far as like books or documentaries or some sort of situation in regards to your story?
Yeah, you asking like, you're a journalist, huh? The first hip hop conference on a college campus was in 1991. So we, the founders of the co-founders of that, we are in discussion about a documentary. I was the founding president, so my story is kind of embedded in that, you know? So that's something that we're working on. And then simultaneously, there's a documentary in the works about the protests at Howard University in 1989 when we shut down the building. A book has already been done called We Are Worth Fighting For, and that's on NYU Press by Dr. Josh Meyer. So the book has been done, and we currently are shopping. We have a director. We have an executive producer. So I think sooner than later, that story is going to be told because it was a seminal event, of course, in student activism. So that's as far as it's going to get in terms of like, because with the mayor of Newark, Raz Baraka, the son of Amina yes. and Amiri Baraka, mm-hmm. we were co-leaders with others for that protest. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. So my story is always embedded in the work, be it for the first hip hop conference that birthed so many of the expressions of hip hop and the marketing ideas. All of that was birthed at the hands of some 18 and 19 year olds. You know what I mean? So my story is embedded there, and it's embedded in the protests, all at Howard University in a certain era. So those documentaries are in the works. I do have my second book that's in the works as well, and that's going to be, it's entitled I've Got Life, which is off of a Nina Simone song. And I'm interviewing and putting into words an anthology of Black women's stories, Black women healers and artists and activists. So that's in the works as well.
Lovely. Great, great, great to hear that. And lastly, for those young people coming up, the young journalists, the young writers and people who want to get into marketing, into PR and so forth, such as yourself, what would you say to them?
I could put it in a hashtag. I have a hashtag that says tradition over trends.
Mm.
And so by that, I mean, there's something about not being swept away or intoxicated by everything that is popular by default, because everything that's popular by default is not necessarily enduring and nourishment. And so I want to encourage people to not to poo-poo that which is popular, right? Because I don't mean this crassly, but superficiality does have its place. But I always want people to be willing and okay to get deeper into points of origin. I want people to get deeper into our African selves and African traditions and the way that we communicate with one another. Can we have non-transactional relationships? Because when you have human, genuine, non-transactional relationships and everything is not about what can you do for me, then I think we get a real human connection with one another, which is just more enduring and more life-sustaining. And mental health is such a thing. And on this side of the world, particularly amongst young people, I just want people to know that they're loved and appreciated and that they should step forward and be courageous. And sometimes you don't get that if you're only focused on how many likes. So let's get into the traditional way of being human with each other. That's what's fundamental here at Akila Work Songs.
Beautiful. We thank you, as usual, as always, for joining us on the program, Thermal Sound Waves, April Silver of Akila Work Songs. Be on the lookout for all the wonderful things that she has going on over there. And I'm sure you, if you sign up for the blast and the email list and so forth, you'll be kept in the know on all of that. And what's the website and on all the social medias that they can get in contact with you on all this?
Absolutely. Akila Work Songs is the one-stop place. It's AKILAWORKSONGS.com, Akila Work Songs. My social is April R. Silver, and also the business is Akila Work Songs. So that's Akila without an H. And look up. And we'll be there. We're about to go in. Y'all can see all of the pictures starting tonight. We got to get them up from Doug and KRS-One. And shout out to Brooklyn Public Library and the festival. Yeah, you're going to have a good time. You're going to have a good time. Everything is on fire tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah, big up to BPL. I spent a lot of hours and time in that place as a youth as well. So
dope.
Yeah, I know it very well.
Okay, good. I'm gonna send them this audio.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thank you once again, April, for coming through and joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, C2. Thank you, Kev. I'm saying your name.
All right. No problem. Much love.
Much love. Take care. All right.
Peace, April. It's Thermal Sound Waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. Yeah. We hear C Truth, Kev Lawrence.
Yeah. Thermal Sound Wave.